Welcome back to The Stateless Man. This is your host, Fergus Hodgson, and I'm broadcasting from Pompano Beach in Florida. And I've been working to arrange this interview for a while. I'm really pleased to have Michelle Lieberman of thefreedomfriend.com. So, Michelle, welcome to The Stateless Man.
Hi, Fergus. Thanks for having me.
Right, and I'll say that she is calling in all the way from Singapore. And Singapore is a country that I've been seeking to explore or get more information on for a while. As anyone who's been following this show will know, we examine the indexes of economic freedom both by the Fraser Institute and the Heritage Foundation. And Singapore is a perennial front-runner, usually in second place. But I personally have not traveled there, and I just hear about it a lot. So Michelle is down there, and she's actually written about it. Her article on thefreedomfriend.com is titled, I Want to Be a Millionaire, and that came out earlier this month. So actually, Michelle, before we get to the article, though, why don't you just explain the concept behind your website, The Freedom Friend?
Sure. I started The Freedom Friend because I myself, just 5 years ago, didn't really have any understanding of the economy, and I really didn't care, the economy and politics, and it was watching Ron Paul in the 2008 elections that kind of woke me up. And then just through a series of many different things that happened, I began to understand how all the things I care about, from my relationship to my makeup to my clothes to my business to my acting work, was completely affected by government policies, what was going on in the economy. And once I started to understand, like, the root causes, like, it wasn't just some sort of mystical, magical, you know, things that were happening to myself and prices of things that I wanted to buy and things that were happening within my business. Once I began to understand, root causes, which comes from how an economy is run, it became extraordinarily interesting to me. And it was something that I didn't understand. I'm a big pop culture girl. Most of my friends are in the entertainment industry. They're your typical American women. They're really busy with work. They're really busy with their kids. And they don't get it. Like, and so when you don't get it, you ignore it. And when you ignore it, then you have a problem, like a growing government in America that becomes more and more authoritative because your citizens don't understand what's happening.
That's just so interesting you say that or explain the basis for your website, because originally when I began The Stateless Man, the whole point of the show is to be freer individuals through our own initiative. And I have been working in policy research for a long time, and I basically didn't want to have anything to do with politics. But the fact is, it became basically unavoidable because, as you say, it's just everywhere, and it's so deeply embedded in, you could say, the modern economy, and almost everywhere you turn, that I've just said, forget it. Let's go with basically investigating that reality. The reality that, particularly in, you could say, the developed world, that the invasiveness of our government in many parts of our lives is just enormous, as you know, and it really does impact things. And actually, I want to come back to that relationship point because you did write an article on that as well. So we'll just see if we can get back to that one. But I really want to examine, like I said, Singapore, because you've written about it and because it really is, I mean, relatively speaking, a free market haven. I mean, I say that relatively speaking because, like New Zealand, it's far from perfect, but does better than most places. So do you want to share with people how you ended up there? You say you're just working there, but what brought you to the island?
Well, what brought me to Singapore was actually my boyfriend.
Yeah?
And he is actually from England. And he moved to Singapore to work because we hang out with a lot of expats here in Singapore. And so many Australians, so many westernized, developed nation citizens come to Singapore now because people go where the opportunities are. It's the same reason why 150 years ago the opportunity was in America and everybody was going to America. Like, you go where the money is, you go where the opportunity is. And just on a fundamental understanding. Like, human beings want to have the freedom to pursue their dreams and goals. And America has now become so imprisoning with all of these regulations, all of these policies that make it very difficult just to move around economically.
Right.
That it's no longer a place of opportunity. Singapore is like the capital of Asia. They're very economically free. It has its problems, like you just said. It subsidizes for corporations to come over here.
Right.
But they are business friendly. Their taxes are low. In fact, just this last week, I was doing my taxes, and my boyfriend was doing his. And my taxes took me 3 days to do. His
Whoa.
Took him. We took about 20 minutes, and the amount he has to pay in taxes is, I've never seen anything like it. My jaw dropped because it was so low. And they tell you how much you owe. It's three pages.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have this huge, confusing 3,500 page tax code that you have to sift through, that you have to hire tax accountants for, tax lawyers for. Like, it's very simple, which is why I can see why corporations and individuals find it appealing to be here, because his taxes are low. Like, when you work and somebody is taking such a huge chunk of your money, like, you begin to lose your enthusiasm for your work.
Of course. And I mean, there are so many sort of issues that flow from what you just said. Actually, today I had an interview on a radio station out of Louisiana, and the host was asking me about why the number of illegal immigrants in the United States had gone down, and had they self-deported? And I said, yeah, just like lots of other people from the United States who weren't here illegally, they've been leaving too. And one such person to leave and then renounce his citizenship in, I guess, a public manner, not that he necessarily intended it to be that way, you note, is this one of the original Facebook entrepreneurs, Eduardo Saverin, and
yeah.
It was just very revealing as the nature of the United States, that suddenly, rather than the United States being the competitor where people were fleeing to, that apparently when other countries were offering a more favorable tax environment, rather than trying to compete with them, just out came the rhetoric about how this person must be evil, a traitor, or whatever. We should block this person from ever coming back to the United States. And it was just eerie. And I don't know what's going to happen in the long run, whether controls will come in, but I am concerned that right now there is a push within the United States to build basically an exit visa process, which would require you to actually go through a certain, how can I describe it, approval process to leave the country. People who are against illegal immigrants are pushing for this. One reason why I'm saying that. Yeah?
It goes against the whole point of freedom. Freedom means that you are forced to stay in a country?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the ironies are enormous. That's why I speak out on that issue so much. There was also another case recently that I highlighted on the Facebook page of the Stateless Man about Hollande. Is he the president? Anyway, he identified tax havens as basically the cause for France's downfall. He basically was scapegoating them with recent difficulties. And I thought, you're blaming other places for being more competitive or cost-effective. I just thought it was pathetic. But I can see this happening more and more. And it's of particular interest to people from the United States because, as you note, people in the U.S., regardless of where they go, tend to have to still complete the same IRS forms or basically, for their whole lives, be involved with the tax authorities. So getting out of it is much more difficult. Right. And how has Singapore met or matched your expectations?
Well, my mother is from Malaysia.
Right.
So I've been, every few years, my family always comes back. She came to the States when she was a teenager, and it was very scary for her. I mean, the reason she came to the United States from Malaysia is the same reason that now Americans are leaving America to come to Singapore. And Singapore used to be part of Malaysia. And so when I was young and I used to visit Malaysia and Singapore and visit family, I saw signs of a third world country. And so I haven't been to Singapore in a while. I came back last year in 2012. And as an adult and as someone now who is looking at through the eyes of a little bit more like economic savviness in me, I could see, I mean, Singapore is a brand new city. Singapore has taken the good parts of all the different successes of other cities and combined them into Singapore. Now, they're very controlling, though. So,
well, actually, because it's a- Michelle, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we need to take a break at this point.
Sure.
Folks, just stay with us. We'll be right back with the Freedom Friend, Michelle Lieberman. This is the Stateless Man on Overseas Radio Network.
Are you a fluent English speaker? Get paid to teach English around the world. With 1 billion people learning English, there are 250,000 teachers and nearly 100,000 new jobs a year. International TEFL Academy, based out of Chicago, trains over 1,200 new teachers a year in TEFL certification. Visit radioita.com or call 773-634-9900 to request a free brochure. That's radioita.com. Mention Stateless Man this month and receive a $50 discount.
Your website is a major doorway to reach new clients. A dynamic web presence will generate you more leads and business. AMTG Solutions offers premium web design and digital media services for today's small businesses and entrepreneurs. Visit our website at amtgs.com or email Tony at info@amtgs.com and let's get the ball rolling.
This is the Stateless Man. This is Pompano Beach in Florida, and it's my pleasure to be speaking with Michelle Lieberman. She is down in Singapore, and her website is thefreedomfriend.com. And I just asked her basically what happened when she got to Singapore, and she said she's actually had quite a bit of experience with it. I guess her family are from Malaysia, and just how there has been a dramatic change in that part of the world over the last few decades. And this is one reason why I've been so interested in charter city projects such as that in Honduras, because the idea is to replicate the success of a place like Singapore that has gone through such a rapid development process that in basically 50 years it went from third world to leading the world. And I'm sorry, I had to cut you off there, but how has this manifested itself? You said there has been a dramatic change. Do you want to expand upon that point?
Yeah, it's amazing when you come to Singapore. Everything is brand new. There are high-rises everywhere. The streets are clean. I mean, Singapore is like walking through Disneyland. It's extremely clean. It gets made fun of because of its cleanliness and like that order, that social order, but it also is kind of nice to live in. And there's very low crime here, although I think the crime rate is starting to grow, because the one thing about Singapore is they adopted a more capitalistic free market system economically, very much like what helped America prosper 100 years ago, but they are still very socially unfree. The government likes to have control. They do things that I think in the beginning, which is why our government has done them, in the beginning when the government takes over and starts subsidizing things, it looks temporarily like it works. But in the long run, you just can't control nature. And I believe economics to be a form of nature. So you can build the dam, but at some point, the lake is going to overflow and it's going to push through that dam.
How much, if I may interrupt there, how much truth is there to things like that in Singapore, men are not allowed to have long hair?
Men are not allowed to have long hair? Is that what you said?
Yeah, is that true?
I don't know about that one. I know there's things, you know, everybody knows about the no chewing gum. You're not allowed to be gay. But I've seen gay people here. I think basically they punish you if you engage in homosexual acts, I think, where somebody catches you. But I don't imagine anybody ever doing that, because why would you do it in the middle of the street? You would, you know, you'd do it in the privacy of your home. And, yeah, there's a lot of social regulation here that seems kind of preposterous to me. Gosh, what was another one? off the top of my head, I can't remember at the moment. But
what about political speech, though? Because many of us don't understand exactly the, you could say, participation in the legislative process or anything like that. What is this, the form of government there?
They had the same government, the same people in power for decades now. It's been a family. And here's the thing, you can have leaders who make really good decisions, and sometimes, and if they have all of this power and they're making good decisions for their citizens, then that's great for the few decades that they're in power. But when you have a government that has full power, kind of like Singapore does, if you happen to get someone 10, 12, 15 years from now who does come into power after this family, and they don't have the same vision, they don't have the same policies, because they don't vote on presidents every 4 years the way we do. And so, luckily for Singapore, the family that's been in power these last few decades has had this vision of economic expansion, of more social tolerance. I was reading an article the other day where there's a very huge income or class gap here. The locals who live here are not the same as the expats who move here, because Singapore is a place where money comes. It's not necessarily where money is made. It's where money comes to maintain itself and not be lost. So there's a lot of Chinese who come here, a lot of Westerners who come here to protect money they've already made. I don't remember if it was, there's more millionaires in Singapore than any other country now, but something like that. And a lot of their millionaires are coming from China, which actually surprised me. So there's all these Chinese millionaires here, and it's because they don't trust their government. Anytime you move money away from a country, it's because they don't trust their government. And that's the same thing happening in America.
Yeah, it is just, it's just fascinating. And you're concerned that maybe that in the long run, whenever this family dynasty loses control, that the situation will be precarious?
That would be my prediction, because, you know, you've heard about kings hundreds of years ago who were wonderful kings, and their kingdoms thrived and citizens loved them and there was prosperity, and then another king came or overtook that king or killed that king, and then they became, there was tyranny in the land. So this is the reason why, as you know, the founders came to America and said government can never have this much power, because regardless of whether they're good or bad, somebody bad will eventually come in and use that power. So right now you have Singapore with a very controlling government, but they happen to have good leaders with good planning and future planning, which is prospering Singapore at the moment. But if you ever have someone who is controlling, has selfish endeavors, you know, like a king, then I think Singapore is going to really struggle.
If you don't mind me asking, is the Freedom Friend considering basing herself in Singapore long term?
No.
Okay.
The reason I say that, I mean, I don't know. Right now, it's the Freedom Friend, because I was born in America, I'm first-generation American. My father is from Russia and Poland. My mother is from Malaysia. They both came to America to get away from those tyrannical regimes. And then I was born in America hearing the stories of what they grew up with, and it was awful. They told me stories of watching people getting murdered because there's been bedlam in the streets and there's rioting and there's wars. And Japan invaded Malaysia when my mother was young, and she watched as a 16-year-old Japanese people killing Chinese with bayonets. And so this is something we don't really see on American soil. And even though I know that we're seeing more terrorism in America right now, and I was in New York during 9/11, I went through that entire event and experienced it, and it was very jarring for me. So nothing compared to what my mom and dad lived in. And so my home fires, my home base is America. My heart is with America. Like, America was the grand freedom experiment, and it worked for a short time. And government growing and people in government and bankers and their selfishness has slowly eroded it. But because it was done, I just kind of have the hope and the ideological view that it could be done again. I mean, I've been told that I'm living a pipe dream, but we'll continue to go. it is luxury living here, but it's very expensive because when you have all this money flowing into Singapore from other countries, they inflate the prices. The property here is in a bubble. The prices of that are very generic, just like cereal and bread is very expensive. They're not cheap, and there's a huge income gap between the people who, the Singaporeans, local Singaporeans, and the corporations that are moving in here. So you don't have a large middle class because it's different than America. America allowed freedom so that everybody could come, and they produced in America. So they built wealth through that production. So you had this huge middle class and a very small class gap. And here in Singapore, because you have such wealth pouring in here so fast, it's the local Singaporeans don't have the ability or the resources to catch up with the super wealth that's already pouring into here.
That's just so fascinating. I'll say that I am just torn with this question all the time. Right now I am based in the United States. And on the one hand, I get a little bit dejected about the actual economic situation and what's going on in the political realm in D.C. But on the other, like you, I guess, I have this sense that there's this lion of people who respect liberty just waking up. And when I go to certain conferences, I just am inspired that there are so many people who are intelligent, engaged, who understand, who want their independence, and that they will amazingly bring about what may be one of the first times a bottom-up call for freedom. And we'll just see what happens in the next decade or two, but I really am optimistic that there is a changing era in terms of the way people think. And one of the most exciting things is this perhaps nullification where many states are just legalizing things like medical marijuana and saying, look, federal government, we're not going to obey you on this. And this is bringing people together across different political ideologies where they just realize that local control is better. So that is an ongoing challenge. Now, we don't really have time to get to your other articles. I will say that if people are interested in housing affordability, there is a ranking across nations. And you can hear that on the February 4th episode, which is available on thestatelessman.com in the archive section. Just go to February 4, Housing Affordability. And I will note that comfortably, the United States has the most affordable housing in the English-speaking world. So that is one major advantage, not that California is, if you're planning on going back there. That's one of the worst places for housing affordability. Yeah, so it is a fascinating prospect, Singapore, and I know that many other people are going there. And I'll continue to follow it. Otherwise, do you want to just give people a few final thoughts as to what your next prospects are with the Freedom Friend?
Well, I'm currently writing two books right now that help. One is an entertainment book for women that kind of marries the interests that they have with economics. And then another one is kind of a diary of an American girl in Singapore. And it kind of, and it shows the differences between living in America and Singapore. And one thing I want to say on top of what you just said, America is the one country that has the possibility to rise above this because we have a background in freedom. And we're the only country that has a background in freedom. It is instilled in us. It's instilled in me and my generation. So eventually, versus Europeans, you know, for centuries and centuries have dealt with socialism, and same with Asia, and same with every other country. Americans have a sense of freedom that is instilled in them over these last couple hundred years, and I think that's what gives us the hope when people eventually wake up, which I think is going to be very different than any other country's response to tyranny. So I think there's hope for America.
Yeah, I have to agree with that sentiment, and I write about it all the time. There are some areas which may be exceptions to that rule in terms of warmongering or a tendency toward foreign interventionism, but in general, I think you're right on the mark there, and that's just a very important distinction that people considering the U.S. either to go to or to leave should keep in mind. Now, I want to say I'm really appreciative that Michelle Lieberman came on The Stateless Man, and I'm going to be posting more of her articles on The Stateless Man Facebook page. So, Michelle, thanks for giving up your precious time and calling in from Singapore.
Thanks for having me, Fergus. It was my pleasure.
From the Swiss Alps to the sunny shores of Aruba, this is the Overseas Radio Network.